The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Ian O'Connor has written a new book about Bill Belichick, and in that book, he talks about how Tom Brady is very close or has been near the thoughts of divorcing himself from Belichick after all of these years, as the two have kind of grown a little weary of each other as the time, as time has progressed. I don't think this is earth-shattering news. You know, I bring it up because it's Brady Belichick, and there's still a point of conversation in this NFL, and when Brady does finally end this NFL career, whenever that is, it's going to be a big deal, especially in the AFC, where it's going to be open again for anybody to just take it. But I don't find this surprising at all. I mean, look, they've been together for 18 years, okay? And sometimes, like, I've been married for 20 years, okay? And look, it's my, you know, my marriage isn't a Hallmark movie. We've had ups and downs. I mean, we've had arguments and, you know, really solid debates where we both believe in what direction we've taken. And we've had moments where we thought, man, we're going to lose our minds if we stay together. But we put up with some of our flaws and we've created a pretty good household out of the deal. That doesn't mean that there's not, you know, we've learned to live with each other's faults to a point where we just accept everything and nothing gets under each other's skin. It's just the way life goes, right? This isn't surprising. The longer you're with somebody, you know, the more you're going to see through some of the early, you know, the early relationship, and it starts to break down a little. That's not uncommon. This isn't earth shattering, right? I mean, look, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have just been together longer than I think any quarterback and coach has ever been in the league together, right? And the success that they've had, you would think has draw them closer, but that's not how it works. Especially when you're under somebody from the time you're 23, 24 years old to the time you're 41. They don't change, but you change. You get more mature. You see things differently. And I think that's what's going on with the Patriots. And while I find this interesting in a way, because I think I've always been curious as to the relationship between these two very, very, very successful people, I don't find this news very surprising. We'll talk about it a little bit more coming up. It's Tony D and Ron Culver on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
The book by Ian O'Connor, Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. In it, Tom Brady is not so complimentary. You know, people are saying that he wants to divorce from Bill Belichick. I don't find this surprising. I think when you're 41 years old, you're not 24 anymore. You probably be, Belichick probably hasn't changed much. Same sort of grouchy persona. Quote, Tom knows Bill is the best coach in the league, but he's had enough of him. If Tom could, I think he would divorce him. Yeah, well, okay, then divorce him. I mean, I don't think this is odd. I have a friend of mine. I've told people this because I went to college with her. And at the time that I knew her in college, this was, you know, years and years ago. She was dating this guy and they were in love, crazy for each other, and just longtime boyfriend. You could tell that they were going to get married. You just knew it. And you know, he didn't hang around in our college group, but you know, that's what she would go when she wasn't hanging around with us. She would always go with him and they would go together. And, you know, it was just bound to be successful. Then last summer I found out she was getting divorced, and I, you know, I was curious and I said, well, what happened? And she says, it was just 20 years of the same mood. I couldn't deal with it. And you know, as you get older, that stuff wears on you. And it was surprising to me because I thought, well, you guys been together for so long, you'd think you'd work that out, right? But no, she's like, no, I'm pushing that aside. I can't do that anymore. There's a lot of other things. I don't want the rest of my life to be bogged down with this sort of grouchy person. Now in the NFL, when we use the term divorce, we're not talking about a lifelong commitment here. Eventually, Tom Brady is going to leave playing NFL football and he doesn't have to deal with this coach anymore. There is an end game. It's not death do you part, right? I mean, Tom Brady can retire, be done with it. He can ask for a trade. He can quit. But I found one thing I did find interesting in this book was that he was so set on breaking up with Belichick, apparently in this book, by some accounts. But when they traded Jimmy Garoppolo, he said he felt an obligation. They say Tom felt, because Tom wasn't quoted in the book, as he felt like he had an obligation to return to the team. Now, that if that's the case, then that's a problem. If I'm Robert Kraft and I'm reading that, or I would like to know a little more. I may not give too much credibility to it, but I would like to know more. Like, do you really feel like you're here through some bizarre obligation because we made a move? Because if you're, you know, if that's the case, then what are we doing? How do we make you happy? I mean, in one sense, you're talking about playing into your 40s, and then I get this other report that you felt like, you know, there was an obligation to come back to play for us. I mean, we want to be a big, you know, happy Patriot family here. But I mean, who knows if that's true or not. But this again, I don't think this is a bombshell, because I think two people under the same sort of system for years and years and years will probably grow tired of each other. I mean, you see this with radio teams a lot. You see this with television groups a lot. You see things just, especially in a business setting, don't always last forever. You know, the two guys that start a company grow apart because there's a little bit of ego involved when one person feels like it's being outshined by the other. But what's been the biggest argument about the Patriots' success for the past 15, 16, 17 years, right? Is it Belichick or is it Brady? Is it Brady? Is it Belichick? Is it the quarterback? Is it the coach? Is it the coach and quarterback, or is it the quarterback and coach, right? I mean, that's a debate everybody has, right? Lennon McCarthy, right? It's the same kind of feeling with the Patriots. Could they have won all those Super Bowls with a different quarterback? Does it have to be Brady? What about a different coach? Would Brady have led the team to a Super Bowl anyway, even if it was an okay coach? Good coach, but not the greatest coach of all time. Is Belichick getting the greatest football coach of all time label because he just happened to stumble upon one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? It's a great debate. It's a great barroom debate. It's been going on for years and years and years, right? Team Brady or Team Belichick? Right. If you live in New England, that's you kind of get into one camp or the other. Sometimes people go, well, I'll take them both. We just happen to luck out with one of the greatest football minds and one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But the idea that they're supposed to be happily engaged and happily together for all these years is probably silly. I think it's probably what makes them great. I think part of Belichick's success is never admitting that somebody is better than what the system that you're using. Not even Tom Brady. Right? Not even Tom Brady is bigger than the system you're trying to put in place. And if you're Brady, you know, there's got to be a moment where you go, look, I'm not going to lie here. We've been to 8 Super Bowls, right? I've been to 8 Super Bowls and I have a team around me, but I'm pretty darn good at this. This isn't just going to be a coach getting all the responsibility stuff. I mean, I'm pretty good at this. Not a lot of NFL teams with good quarterbacks have gone to 8 Super Bowls, and I have. Winning 5. So I don't know. It's just I've been fascinated with their relationship because I've wanted to know how long it was going to last, and two, I've been really curious as how it's going to end. I really do have that. I really do want to know how it's going to end. Does Brady go off in the sunset, or does he? Do the Patriots make the decision for him, and then he saves face by announcing his retirement when the writing's on the wall? Peyton Manning was. That's exactly how Peyton Manning went down. I know it was weird. Go off in the sunset, win a Super Bowl, but I'm telling you, the Denver Broncos did not want limp-armed Peyton Manning going into that next season. That did not look like it was getting better. That arm did not look like it was, like, his legs, his body, everything was not going well.
Hell, you can almost make the argument they didn't want him in that season.
Yeah, they didn't want him in the end of that season, right. And I've always made the contention. I mean, if Brock Osweiler doesn't throw those picks off guys' chests, he probably leads them to the playoffs. But that's a tough position for football players to be in, because there you don't get it like baseball. You don't get it like the NBA. Like Dwayne Wade, right, is going to go around and, yeah. You don't get that in the NFL. That never happens in the NFL. Because the NFL, the end comes sooner than you usually want it, because of the way the money is handled, the way the your salary accounts against so much, and they can do so much more with your salary. Eventually, the Patriots are going to tell Tom Brady, nope, at 43 or 44, we don't want you to play. And Tom Brady is going to say, well, I want to play until I'm 45. And the Patriots are going to say, well, not here. It was just that Jimmy Garoppolo came just a little too early. Just a little too early. But like I think I said this yesterday, the next Jimmy Garoppolo that comes through, the next young gun quarterback that Belichick loves, they ain't never getting rid of him. They're never going to get rid of him. I don't care if Brady wants to play another 6 years. They're never going to get rid of him. Because this league waits for nobody. Absolutely nobody. And it's not even the guy who led you to 8 Super Bowls. Kind of fascinated, though. Can't wait to see this. I don't like buying memoirs of people, because I don't like necessarily their version of the story. But I wouldn't mind reading Tom Brady's. If Tom Brady is a tell-all book, I wouldn't mind reading it just to see what all that stuff was like. You know what I'd like to know about Tom? Like, they're so quiet. What was Tom Brady thinking when Aaron Hernandez got arrested? Wouldn't that be why I'm interested in that. But I always wondered what Tom Brady was thinking when he got the news that Aaron Hernandez was arrested for murder.
Or when he got like, finally convicted.
Yeah. Like, remember the day they went to Aaron Hernandez's house?
Yeah.
Remember that? He was like, oh, okay.
Coming out in that ratty t-shirt.
Yeah, that ratty t-shirt. I wonder what like Brady was thinking when he saw that. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding. He probably knew, because I'm sure the Patriots got a little early heads up. Like, hey, we're doing this investigation of this murder, and we probably shouldn't be telling you this, but we're kind of friendly. Yeah, it looks like all roads are leading to Aaron Hernandez. We're just giving you a heads up. And probably Brady was probably definitely in on that information. God. Oh, goodness. And Deflategate and all that. He's got a good story to tell, Tom Brady. I was just reminiscing with a friend of mine that I did radio with like in 2005. And we got to take our intern. She was a huge Patriots fan. We got to take our intern to a Broncos Patriots game. And she attended the post game press conference with Brady. And, you know, she was as giddy as all get. And I was thinking, my God, that was like 13 years ago. How many guys are still playing 13 years later? Like in the league. It was a long time ago we did that.
Not a whole lot.
You don't play a lot. You just don't play that long. It's been amazing that he's been playing that long. So, well, this book has a lot more information other than that. Deflategate, Spygate, Bill Barcells. So that's the Belichick. I guess the title of it is Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. All right, coming up next, I want to talk cereal, and especially one celebrity involving cereal. That's coming up next. Plus, a Las Vegas bettor could cash in really quickly thanks to Khalil Mack. I got those stories coming up next on SB Nation AM.
Now,
back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts you need to get the job done right. Stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories, guaranteed low prices. The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, so what do I do? The cereal story first or the better that's in for a huge payday out in Vegas? Oh, what should I do?
Go better.
Let's go with the better, because I'm going to have you set up the cereal story. That is cereal as in breakfast cereal.
Maybe.
All right, so there's a better out in Las Vegas that could turn a $5 parlay, NFL parlay, into $840,000. And they won it because the Bears beat Seattle. This was a progressive bet in Las Vegas where $5 and you are in a pool and you basically are picking again, not against the spread, just straight up. And this bettor is going to win the progressive jackpot because they picked all the games that went on that weekend and picked them correctly. All 16 games. They went 15-0 until Monday night's game. And then they had the Bears over Seattle. The Bears won and now they can cash in on $84,000. You'd think that would happen more often. That is not hard. That's not easy to do, to go 16-0 in a weekend of NFL games. And because there's $84,000 that's in the pot that keeps growing with every single missed week. Not bad. So congratulations to that person. And thank you, Khalil Mack, for coming through and helping sack Russell Wilson 5 times in the first half.
Or Prince of Nakamura.
Yeah, for sealing the game. Sealing the win.
He's a big Prince fan now.
That's right. So I've never gone
$84,000.
$84,000 on a $5 bet. On a $5 progressive
bet. That's a good return on investment right there.
Yeah, I mean, because everybody would do that. Like, you throw $5 in there, go, yeah, let me pick some games. Let's see what happens.
And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa. Got to go 16-0?
Yep.
He's probably one of those guys that'll let it ride, too.
Yeah, idiot. Probably. I used to bet baseball parlays when I lived out in Vegas, and I wasn't very good. Like, I'd bet 3-team parlays, and I'd get, like, the first 2 games, and then the Reds would lose to the Dodgers or something like that, and it'd blow me up. But I'd bet $20 to get, like, 275 or something, and I'd never win. And I was so excited. Like, I would always think I had it down, and I never did. I didn't bet a lot in Vegas because I didn't have as much money, and because my wife basically said, no, you're not going to do that. But I used to work with this guy, and he was a sales guy for us, and he would always ask me to go out to lunch with him. He's like, let's go to lunch. Let's talk some shop. I'm like, okay, because we wanted to talk about what endorsements we could do and whatnot. And every time we would go to lunch, it was always at some casino restaurant, and he was always placing bets. Like, that's what he did all the time. And he was a sales guy. He made good money. But it was amazing, like, I almost wanted to ask, like, how much are you down since you've lived in Las Vegas, how much are you down? Just to see if he knew that number. But that's what he did. So these things were kind of fun. So good for them. $84,000.
Yeah, that's one thing I've never made a bet on a team.
Oh, well, it's fun to do when you make it does
in Vegas,
make the game
I mean,
more exciting.
You know, obviously, like, you know, with friends, I mean, growing up, my grandfather used to bet $1. Yeah, it started off as a quarter, then it became $1.
Inflation for
Monday night football games. He would do it with my cousin and I. And the only rules were, I mean, we got to pick any team we wanted, and he would take the other team no matter what the situation was.
Oh, that's cool.
Except for the Giants. He would never bet against his Giants.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And you wouldn't want to force your grandpa to do that.
Yeah, sometimes we did.
Yeah, sometimes
back in the day when the Giants were playing the Buccaneers, we're like, come on, Grandpa, the Buccaneers are going to lose. We know this. That's back when Monday Night Football actually mattered.
Yeah.
It was actually good. But no, aside from that, I've never done a Vegas bet for a team. I hate throwing money away. And even though it could be a sure thing, I just feel like, nah, I'll lose. I'll be that jinx.
I never bet. Just wasn't until recently. My cousin took me to Kentucky Downs, which is like a horse track that's kind of about a couple hours from Louisville. And it was on Kentucky Derby Day. And I'd never bet horse racing before. And I didn't know anything about it. And then when I learned how to do it, I was really into it. I really liked doing it. It made the races fun. But yeah, I understand that sort of mentality. It's kind of interesting. Like my wife and I, when we moved to Vegas, my wife likes roulette, and she had some chips, and she went to a table and she put money on four, just the number four, because it was like my birthday and some, you know, just whatever. And she put $5 down on the number four, and she just went to a table and she didn't realize it was a $10 table. So the guy said to her, "Hey, that's a $10 table." And she's like, "Oh, sorry." So she had two choices. She could take the $5 bet off because they didn't say no more bets. So she could remove it, or she could put another chip down. She put another chip down and four came up. And I was like blown away. And I was so jealous, because I was like, that never happens to me. Like that would never, not if I did that, the wheel would break, right? It would be like, oh, nobody wins. The wheel's busted. Like she came up. So we ended up buying like a couch, like a brand new couch with the winnings that she had from that. It's like $360. Oh no. Good Lord. No.
that could be the couch.
I wish we did.
That could be the couch that ended up in your garage.
No, I know. I wish.
Your man cave.
I think
her she shed
five or six couches in our life, in our marriage.
No, we finally did that. We finally broke down and we got a newer couch.
Yeah, we just did too.
Yeah, you know? I mean, the couch we had it was falling apart, and then sat there. I'm like, looking at my wife, like, when did we get this? She's like, oh, it was around when our oldest was born. I was like, God, we've had this couch for 11 years.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same way.
Lord.
I'm the same way. Well, I don't know who that person is that is going to take $84,000, but congratulations on getting all the NFL winners. Not against the spread, just straight up. That's hard to do. I've tried to do it.
Yeah, but it's just too bad. He's going to have to kick some of the money back to the Hall of Famers.
Yeah, that's right. Kick money back to the Hall of Famers.
You know, they deserve their cut.
All right, so I'm going to let you break in the serial story of, Kylie Jenner?
The serial story, Kylie Jenner. She tweeted this out last night, and I don't know if this is, I don't know how this is possibly real, but she tweeted out, "Last night I had cereal with milk for the first time. Life changing."
Wow. Why? How would you eat cereal without milk? Just dry? Maybe with soda? With what is she eating the cereal with all these years?
I mean, I know in college,
she never had cereal.
In college, milk was a luxury item that I just couldn't afford sometimes. So sometimes it was water. Sometimes it was, leftover.
You ate cereal with
leftover
water?
Beer. Yeah.
Did you eat cereal? You ate cereal with water?
And beer.
Is it good?
No.
No, because
not at all.
The milkiness is absorbed into the cereal. I think that's what it's designed to do.
No, I'm just curious. I'm trying to figure it out. Is it just milk? Maybe she was a little bougie and just went with almond milk or goat's milk.
That's
or,
what
know,
I'm
something
thinking.
Like
right?
That.
That's what I'm thinking.
But I'm not seeing any of that. I'm just seeing that she just never had cereal with milk. I'm like, I can't believe that.
I don't believe that either.
Because I can't
buy that either. Like unless she's eating the cereal dry. But even like I've done that before, but it's not good.
Well, it's one of those things. I don't care how rich you are. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't matter how rich you are. All parents are lazy sometimes in the morning. And at some point, mom, I mean, I know she probably, they had all the cooks and chefs or whatever, living maids and things like that. But at some point, one of those guys are going to be lazy and just like, you know what? I'm not making you an omelet today. Here's a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, eat Enjoy. This. Eat this. But even me, like, that's what I love cereal.
You can have cereal any time of the day.
I love it. I mean, this is something, but here's the deal. When you're a baby, you'll get like dried Cheerios, right? Just Cheerios, right?
Yeah,
but nobody as an adult says, "Oh no! I grew up eating Cheerios without milk. I grew up as a baby eating that. I'm just eating that now."
Yeah, my middle son will sometimes do that. He'll be like, "Oh no, Dad, I want Fruit Loops." I'm like, "All right, I'll pour it with milk." He's like, "No, I didn't want milk in it." I'm like, "How are you supposed to eat them?"
Yeah, the Fruit Loop, the grain is designed to absorb the milk. That's what it's there for.
Just gonna put them in a little plastic baggie for you. That's it. Not giving you a bowl.
She needs to explain this. She just threw that out on Twitter and had no explanation for that?
None.
If all these people probably hit her up with... She probably got thousands and thousands of direct hits this from people going, "What have you been doing this whole time with cereal? What were you thinking it was supposed to be? Out of the box?"
Well, it's not only that, but then, the only photo that really surfaces of her with cereal is a box of Lucky Charms. Marshmallows only.
Marshmallows only. Come on.
Like, those marshmallows are terrible without milk. You need milk for those marshmallows.
They're like, it's dehydrated. Well, it needs to be, it gets the milk to pump it up more.
Thinking about those marshmallows right now, my teeth are hurting.
Oh, like, I know.
I'm getting chills just from thinking about it. Because when you have, you know, one, I can get away with having one or two marshmallows without the milk. But you start popping them, oh, God, I'm like shivering.
No, they're not
right now.
Good at all. They're good. They absorb the milk, and then they sort of come to life. They're like ramen noodles, right? Like ramen.
Yeah,
ramen,
you would never eat ramen noodles by itself.
Right? You need the water to get the noodle you get the noodle to be. That's what these dehydrated. There's no way a regular mushroom is in a box for weeks at a time. Mushroom. Did I say mushroom?
Yeah.
Marshmallow. There's no way a marshmallow is in a box for weeks at a time. On its own, you have to dehydrate it in order for it to have some sort of longevity. Then it becomes goodness when it hits the milk. What are you doing eating Lucky Charm marshmallows out of a box for? My goodness. What's wrong with you, Kylie Jenner? If Kylie Jenner needs a cereal pro to sort of help her navigate the crazy world of breakfast cereals, I'll be more than happy to do it. I'll be more than happy to do it. Lucky Charms are good. Marshmallow Stars are good.
I'll even hold the spoon for her.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll spoon her.
Yeah. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
800-777-2907. Hit me up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, or at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. I got to continue. I mean, I got to shake this off. This is where the professionalism comes in. Still can't believe she hadn't had cereal with milk. It makes me want... Seriously, it makes me want to get a hold of her people. Save her from the, you know.
Yeah, it's got to be fake news.
It's got to be fake news.
Now you got to go out there like, what else haven't you had?
Yeah, exactly. What else haven't you experienced in this wonderful thing we call life? My goodness.
Maybe she hasn't had top ramen.
Maybe she, that's an idea. Maybe she sees a ramen thing and goes, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with this. Am I supposed to cook this in lard? What am I supposed to do with
this? Do I just chew on the packets and snort the powder?
Exactly. Do I snort the chicken-flavored dust? What do I do? I remember when, what's the name of the potato company? Chip company. Lay's. Remember the Lay's had the make create your own flavors, and they had people then they would make a flavored chip?
Yeah.
They had different, like, they had sausage and gravy and, you know, just little crazy, crazy flavors.
That one was weird.
That was weird. But they had one which was chicken and waffles, right? And I couldn't wait to try it because I like chicken and waffles. So, but the potato chip had a tinge of maple flavor for the waffles, but where it got its chicken flavor was the ramen noodle chicken dust.
Okay.
All right. So that's how they did it. Wasn't bad, but eating it reminded me that I'm, you know, the chicken dust.
It's not really chicken and waffles. Right, that's where you're coming from.
Right. It was like, let me put it this way. When I ate it, I tasted maple with chicken dust. Like other people were supposed to eat it and go, man, this is just like chicken and waffles. I ate it and went, I've had too much ramen in my life not to immediately discern that flavor.
Dude, but that was the go-to broke food.
That was the go-to broke food.
God,
right.
You can get like, well, how many? Right. You get like 5 packs for, or almost like 10 packs for $1.
I used to do 2 packs. I used to eat 2 packs with one flavor. So in my apartment in college, and even a little bit after college, there would always be a drawer filled with the chicken stuff. Cause I did 2 packs of ramen, but only one chicken package.
You didn't double up sodium on the flavor? You got to double up.
No, because I had high sodium.
What are you saving it for?
No. I was dealing with a high sodium situation.
Okay.
So I couldn't do it.
Fine. You get the excuse then. I got the excuse.
Oh, no doubt. I would absolutely do it. But I had too much. I was way too high in the sodium. So I had to cut back on the sodium. But I mean, the doctor should have said, you know, you shouldn't be eating that at all. Like that whole chicken package is going to kill you. But I was like, well, if I'm cutting back on the sodium, I'm going to one package over two rather than two packages.
Yeah, but I need to know now. I need to know what hasn't she had?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing.
I'm trying to think like, okay, what broke food do I enjoy? Because, you know, I've lived that way most of my life. I'm not, you know, I've never had like a personal chef, and I'm pretty sure she grew up with a personal chef.
Sure she did. Has she ever had an Oreo cookie?
She hasn't had
cereal in milk. Has she learned the goodness of dunking an Oreo cookie in milk? Because if she hasn't had Lucky Charms in milk, I doubt she's ever put an Oreo cookie in milk.
God, that would be a sad, sad day.
That would be a sad, sad day. I am famously, among some of my friends, I am famously known for, during the 93 AFC and NFC championship game weekend, it's that Sunday, I ate a whole bag of double stuffed Oreos in one day.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, what happened was we bought a bunch of junk food for a party we were having, and I had these double stuffed Oreos. And I was eating the double stuffed Oreos. And I was the only one eating the double stuffed Oreos. We had a bunch of other stuff. And I kept eating them throughout the whole game, so the two games, a long afternoon. I kept eating them. And then there was one point where there was about like 15 left, about 12 to 15 left in the bag. And my roommate's like, you got to finish those. Like, that would be great if you finished a whole bag of double stuffed Oreos by the time this football game ends. Just a stupid college thing, right? And back then I was thinner and like in better shape to handle that kind of load. And I said, you know what? You're right. So I started eating more and more. And then it became like the best I got, like by the end, I was like, I can't eat these anymore. These were just, the sugar rush was killing me. But I finished all of them and I thought I was going to go blind. Like I thought I was going to wake up the next day in a sugar coma and be dead. And I was like, there's no way my body could process all
just
of that
automatically
hydrated
wake up,
oil.
Just wake up and go, boom, diabetes. Yeah. There you go.
Sugar and hydrated oil and whatever else chemicals were in those Oreo cookies. And I
magic. It's called magic, right?
I mean, I just woofed them down. I was just like, I'm finishing this off. And look, when I tell people I ate a whole bag of double stuff, they think I sat down and ate them one by one until they were all gone. I mean, two NFL football games, a championship game, it's a long day, all right? They started at like 2 o'clock back then, maybe even earlier back then, because now they start later. Back then, it might have even started at 1, and it goes until 8 o'clock, right? I mean, long days. That's a long day.
Don't tell me that. I'm picturing you just sitting in a chair.
Just eating them, right?
Just
one after another.
Full of double stuffed Oreos. Crumbs all over you.
Just killing myself. You
didn't even stand up once. It's just crumbs. You just got those black and white crumbs all littered all over.
Like Adam Richman in Man vs. Food, shoving it in there and keeping himself alive.
And you have the ring around your mouth.
Yep, exactly.
That chocolate ring.
More milk.
Right. Oh, well, maybe. You know, Kylie Jenner will be bringing you milk.
Well, I hope so, because if she's never had an Oreo dunked in milk, if she hadn't had Lucky Charms in milk, I don't know what I would do with her.
The only thing the closest I ever came to a situation like that was a case of beer. 24 in one day.
Oh, like Wade Boggs did one time on a cross-country flight.
Yeah, mine was spread out a little bit longer. And it did get to a point where, you know, I had a bunch of people it was me and another guy, a fraternity brother of mine. And we had a crowd cheering us on.
Yeah, just finish this.
It's like the last three beers, we were just, you know, people were just like, go, 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 and like counting down before midnight. Because we started, again, it was like one of those things, we started like at 10 o'clock in the morning.
That is much harder to do than a whole bag of Oreo. So I commend you, because Oreo cookies wasn't the hardest thing I've ever done.
Again, you know, I'm young, dumb, I was in shape, and, you know, like having water.
Yeah, like now, if I eat a whole bunch, like if you, today, at my age and my size, if you saw me eating a whole thing of Oreo cookies, you would say he's given up on life. This is Nicolas Cage in Leaving Las Vegas. This is where he just goes, I'm done. I'm killing myself with alcohol poisoning. If you saw me eating a whole thing of Oreos, you'd say, that's it. He's given up and he's going out the only way he knows how, by just killing himself with sugar and sweets. That's what you would say. When I was 21 or 20 at the time, whatever our age I was, you would think he's just being stupid and this is going to hurt him in, somewhere along the line. I don't know when and how, but there's no way that's good. But he's young enough that his body will process this stuff and he'll be fine. But today you'd think I'd be doing suicide by sugar because that's the way I am. But back then I was just, it was just me and my roommates going, nah, man, finish that. I just got to see you finish that. And I went, yes, I will.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Oreos are so good, though. I mean, it's so easy to kind of get lost. Like, even now, like, I'll have a few Oreos and be like, you know what? I probably want two more.
Take two chocolate wafers, fill it with cream, take the most addictive substance known to man, sprinkle it all over the cookie, and you have an Oreo.
Yep.
Because there's something in the brain that goes, whatever that is, I need as much of that as I possibly can.
Oh, it's happiness.
And I'm not going to stop until you give me that.
It's filled with happiness. Exactly. That's all it is.
Exactly. Oh, goodness. And you know what's great when you're an adult? You get to just buy those whenever you want, whenever you feel like it. That's what I said. I said this, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago about cereal? Like, my mother sometimes would let us get the sugar cereal, but then sometimes we'd have to get Cheerios and regular bran flakes.
More often
and
than
the
not,
other
you had to get Cheerios.
Stuff, right?
And then you felt like you were cheating because you got frosted mini wheats.
Yes, exactly. Every now and then, she'd go, yeah, you can get your Count Chocula or your Sugar Puffs or whatever it is, but you know what? The next week, you're going to pay for it because you're going to eat bran oats, and that's what you're going to go to school with. And say, ugh. But now I'm an adult. I walk through that supermarket aisle, and I'm like, that, 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 and that. Or my wife will go, and she'll say, what do you want? I give her a big stack of cash, and I go, 15 boxes of whatever that is. Give me that. Then I'm an adult, and I can have it. So there. And then when my kids eat it, I get mad and bitter like I'm an old dog gnawing on a bone you can't come after.
Well, that's part of the problem, too, is that now you shop and you're like thinking of your kids like, oh, no, because I don't want them seeing me eat this. Because then they'll be like, oh, yeah, let me have some of this. Like, no, this is mine.
Yes.
So you got to almost create a lockbox in your pantry.
Exactly. Exactly. It's yeah.
This food is off limits.
Yeah, exactly. Like I like Hostess cupcakes. I'll just go to the store and I'll get Hostess cupcakes. When they were going out of business, what, 5-6 years ago, I thought I was going to cry. Remember when they said? Yeah. Remember when Hostess was like, people were saying
they're still
no
more
Twinkies.
The same. They're not the same. They're a little different now.
They're
still
a little
good.
Different.
I'm not
they're
gonna,
a little different.
No, that's what my stepfather, growing up, my stepfather used to hide stuff in his nightstand. I never understood that.
Oh, good for him. Well
I never
done.
Understood that. He would like he would bring up like older. he would have a bag of chocolate chip cookies. And he would just hide them in his nightstand. I remember once like my mom sent me up there to go get something. I opened the door. I'm like, oh, what's this? It's a cookie drawer. You know,
oh,
like
that's
this
great.
Is fantastic.
Yeah. When I was a kid, bought the Hostess cupcakes, she put them in the refrigerator. So they were cool. They were like cold. They were great. But when she'd give them out, I only got one. Now I go to the store, I get two. I mean, great is my life. As an adult, I can go get two Hostess cupcakes. Oh my goodness. I'm just a sugar monster. I got to cool it.
No, but I mean, there's how often have you gone and just, you know, you're checking out or you're by the bakery section, they just have one of those little snack packs for like $1. Like Twinkies for $1. Like, you know what? I'm shopping. I can power these down by the time I get home. No one will ever know.
I'm like, it's my money. I do it all the time.
You sit there,
I do it all the time.
But you kind of feel like you're cheating.
Oh, I do.
Like, I feel like sometimes I'm cheating on my wife when I'm, you know, powering down a Twinkie.
Exactly.
Like,
then
she
you throw
doesn't
away
know.
The
and I'm like, yeah, throw away. Sneak out of the car real quick. I don't lightly close the door. I don't want them to know I'm home. I got to throw this in the garbage can real quick.
Exactly. I do that all the time. All right. 800-777-2907. Oh, I got it. Now I'm craving something sugary.
That's a go-to.
Well done, Kylie Jenner.
On the way home, I don't know where I'm stopping.
But I'm grabbing stuff. 800-777-2907 on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Ron, do you consider yourself like an English kind of grammar police person?
I try not to be, but I do get on the yours.
All right, let me ask you this question, because I'm going back and forth with this, and I don't know what the right answer is, because I've heard it both ways. Is it RBIs or RBI? when you say he had five RBI or five RBIs?
No, I think I go RBIs.
That's what I've been saying. But then the other day I heard somebody say RBI, like not in, in the multitude, not one RBI. Like
no, but that's probably the correct way because it's just an acronym.
Well, here's was my thinking, and I would love an English major to sort of help me out with this, is that I get it that the acronym is runs batted in, so the plural of runs, like if you say five runs batted in, if you spell it out, you don't say runs batted ins, right? Which is what RBIs would be to the extent. But my point is, not to get all grammar police on anybody, is that RBIs might be an acronym, but what an RBI is, the word or the term RBI stands for something. It's a tangible thing, right? So when you have multiple tangible things, you plural that thing. So an RBI is a thing. Therefore, it is plural when you use multiple, when you need more of it.
Right.
So if you have three RBIs, it's because RBI by itself indicates one.
That's my argument, too, is that if you say, oh, that guy, you know, he hit a home run and he had an RBI, you just know, it's only one run batted in.
Right. So I don't know why people are saying he had seven or he had six RBI.
Because they're grammar Nazis.
That might be a grammar Nazi thing. I don't know. If anybody wants to help me out with that, please feel free. Because all the years in this league, I've been using RBIs forever, and I might be wrong about it. I don't think I am, but I might be.